Do you know, on Saturday, I was surprised. Surprised for the first time in a wee while when I opened the curtains and there was snow. I thought, and I had a plan for the day, but the plan had to change. So it took me by surprise. My daughter-in-law on a family WhatsApp talked about my grandson's response as he opened the curtains and looked out. And he said, "Well, it looks like it's going to turn out to be a nice Christmas after all." I felt more like the kid and he felt more like the grown-up the way he spoke. But isn't it remarkable at that stage of how wonder and hope for what can happen hinges on just a blanket of snow? At this Sunday advent of hope, what are our hopes pinned on today? It needs to be more than naive optimism. It needs to be more than wishful thinking. Or even what might we thought was the usual routine, or what we thought would happen this year would be the same as last year. What I will say for the moment is this. I usually have visuals, but sometimes they have to catch up with me. I'll leave it there. What I will say is that hope needs to be for now. Hope is for now. And dare I say it, hope also needs to be a strategy. Hope is about taking steps to make that dream a reality. And that requires hope now. In contrast, hopelessness, when we lose hope, can often result in us getting stuck. And we believe the situation that we know is hopeless. And so, because it's hopeless, we don't take action. So hopelessness keeps us stuck. But in contrast, hope brings a drive and a determination and an energy. I was here a fortnight ago on Remembrance Sunday, and I hadn't been in this church for several years, probably nearly 10. Do you know, when I came through the door, I was met with a welcome, but also with a determination and an energy. And it wasn't until I got back that I looked at my clock, I thought, my goodness me, it's 1:15. There was an energy, and that in itself, you being here, is a statement about hope. You have made a decision. You have taken action. You might not feel filled with hope, but by being here, your choice and your decision has brought you here. And so that is very real. Your presence here. Now, there are many reasons for hopelessness. You only need to look at the BBC News app to realize what we're up against in this world. The global news. It could be our health. It could be our situation. It could be our friendships. It could be the weather. But you know what? You are not alone. And that gives you the amazing ability to understand others who do not have hope. But it doesn't need to be your pathway. And this passage quickly reminds us that we need to get hope to get out of bed. For me, it's like that old interview question. I'm sure Peter knows all these kind of questions for interviews. What gets you out of bed? Don't know what questions you're asked at interviews these days. But these are the kind of things, basically they're asking, what's your purpose? What's your drive? What gives you hope? What gives you a vision? It could be a new day. Could it be a cup of tea? Gets you out of bed? That was a rhetorical question. Is it a cup of tea that gets you out of bed? I know it gets my wife out of bed on Saturday and Sunday morning, a cup of tea. Could it be that you've got plans for the day? Could it be that you've got something you need to get done? Or maybe it's your job just forces you to get out of bed? In this story, in Isaiah, the sunlight of hope is God. And that's what Isaiah is saying should get us out of bed. God shining into our lives at the early dawn and telling us and reminding us what he has for us. When you see them coming, you will smile big smiles. Your heart will swell and, yes, burst. The prophet was saying, look, God is going to put a smile on your face. Why can God put a smile on your face? Because looking at some of you, I think you might need one. Because I go to the opticians in the avenue, into Boots, and there's a test in there that I don't like. Okay? And this test is you've got to put your chin on this particular box, and then they give you a wee handheld remote thing, and you've got to look in this kind of sphere, box, whatever you want to call it. And this is, when you see a light, now it's only like a wee flicker. If you see a light, press the button. Well, if you're neurotic, this is a problem. Because it gets pretty desperate as things go along. And sometimes I've started pressing the button thinking I've seen something. And at the end of the test, I turn to the person, do you know, I'm not too sure if I pressed at the right time. Oh, it's fine. I also wonder what they actually use it for. And do you know, that is exactly what our vision is like in life compared to God's, is that we're looking in to what we think we can see, and even with that, we miss some of it. And God's vision is so much bigger. And so you have here this prophet telling people who are in Jerusalem, look, there's going to be a vast migration of people coming back to Jerusalem. God's people are going to come back. And you just don't know yet. And when you see it happening, your sons and daughters coming back from a distance, it's going to change. And God has such a bigger picture than us. And that's where our hope needs to start to stir from. And that's really important because we need to tie into the DNA of who God is. Because that's woven into us. That's the image of who we are made to be. And so There is the necessity, even like what the science tells us, enjoying the sunlight, even the smile on your face physically actually helps your body function better. All of these things are hardwired to who we are. There's a science in it, but it's more than just science. There's a creation by the Creator that's made us who we are that needs to lean on the side of hope. We just need to tap into it more, and it's not easy. Now, Peter made it quite fanciful that for the past 6 years I've been working for Hope for Justice, but really what I'm doing post-COVID is I'm working in front of a screen all the time. I've not left the front doorstep, and yet my world is around the UK. It's sometimes global, speaking and talking about prevention in anti-slavery and human trafficking. But sometimes my world is so small, it shrinks because I've not left the front door. I've not seen enough people. And so you become wired to the things that really shouldn't annoy you. And poor Ruth comes home and thinks, what's wrong with you? But that's the danger, isn't it? Is that you can have a world that shrinks, and therefore the worries that we have about our immediate world become larger in our minds. And so the prophet Isaiah is saying, look, there's a bigger world here, and you need to see that God has it in his hands. So we need to get that bigger picture. We need to start dreaming again. And that might be a big ask for some of you, where the dreams that you thought you had here are taking a big shift. And you're trying to figure out what those dreams are. I don't know if those are the activities of what happened on the Tuesday night here. So there was a group that met here on Tuesday to start thinking about vision, about dreaming once more, and trying to understand what is going on. And that's really important. And even the snow is a picture for us about where we should walk and how we should walk. New paths can be trod in snow because you don't know where the paths are underneath. And it takes you in different directions. When the University of Stirling was built, which was many years ago, they did a very innovative experiment. They built the campus. I don't know if any of you have been on the campus of the University of Stirling, but basically there's buildings dotted here and there amongst nice green woodland surroundings. They built no paths. And the first students had to walk from those buildings in those fields and in those woodlands with no paths. So they got mucky. But what the builders and constructors began to realize, this is where the students want to walk, because the paths started to emerge. And then they put down the paths. You have been experiencing so many paths that have been laid down already, that maybe now new paths need to be trod. New ways of how to approach what you do need to be understood. And be have the permission to do so. And it can change things. It can change your environment. Even yesterday when Ruth and I were walking, I was saying to Ruth, I'd gone out a walk earlier on because I was bright and breezy. And I went out because it was snow. And I went out and I was really quite shocked how many people chose to say hello to me before I had the chance to say hello to them. I said, what's going on here? And I was telling Ruth all about this. What's going on? People are saying hello to me. And then I was walking up, and then no sooner I said this, this women walking down the other side of the road, which is the one that takes you to Bar Head, so it's a busy road, walking along, hello, like this. Suddenly change, the whole environment changes, and this is what God's vision does when he opens up our eyes to a new thing. So let me just bring it down, not just to the big dreamy picture, but also to some of the gritty detail that we need. Remember I said, hope is now, hope is a strategy. That requires certain actions. And so I'm going to offer you some of those actions that we can take forward here for ourselves. How can we be hope givers this Advent? How can we be hope givers this Advent? Dwell on that for a moment. How can we be hope givers this Advent? Let me offer a few from this particular picture from Isaiah 60. What we're doing in this passage in Isaiah 60 is we're eavesdropping in an enormous reunion and homecoming. A big family reunion where our ear is to the ground of the rumblings of God's people beginning to change and begin to move in a new way. And one of these ways is, first of all, is to bring purpose back into others' lives. I don't know what kind of gifts you're going to get this Christmas, but I do remember one gift I never wish I received. It was when I was in fourth year, and forgive me for any language teachers here, but I got this enormous French-English dictionary given to my parents, and I hated French. I'm embarrassed to say that, but that's how I felt at the time. It didn't instill me with inspiration or anything. It just lay there thick and reminded me on Christmas Day that I had prelims coming and I hadn't studied for them and the vocab wasn't in my head. But we have here purpose being brought back into people's lives. People's lives. It talks about in this passage about the orphans and the widows. People who have lost a sense of purpose because those family around them are no longer there to support them. And we need to be a people who can bring a gift of purpose to other people's lives. To be on the lookout for people who feel marginalized in our community. It was a delight to speak to Russell only a fortnight ago and talk about the good causes. I can listen to him and working in the charity sector, I know it must be immensely hard work on the ground, trying to keep your ear to the ground for all the things that can be dealt with in regards to people who are marginalized, who are forgotten, and who are neglected. And here is the challenge in this season of hope for Advent, is to be on the lookout. To be thinking about the widow and the orphan. That's what James says is good religion, to look out for the widow and to consider the orphan. Are your ears to the ground? Do we know individuals who are needing support, encouragement, and help? Do we know them, or have we allowed our world to shrink where those connections are quite distant? Think about how we could bring hope to those individuals and to transform their lives by bringing the good news of just something even practical. But then we need to think about looking for hope everywhere. These people in Isaiah were coming in all directions. And I think we need to discover that hope can be found anywhere with anyone, and we need to understand their lives and appreciate how we can connect with them. Sometimes when our world shrinks, we think and categorize hope on the way we define our lives. When in fact, when all those things are taken away, we suddenly realize there are people that we need to connect with, there are people that we need to understand, there are people that we would not necessarily associate with or like be like-minded who need to be connected with us once more. So look for hope everywhere. And hope also needs to be generous. Generous because in the gifts that people need today, they need to know the immense grace of God in their lives. In our passage, it spoke about gold and frankincense. And because we're informed, we know what that means in terms of the first Christmas story about the gifts brought by the wise men. But here, centuries earlier, it's spoken of. And these are immense gifts that speak of Jesus' life and the generosity of God towards us. I know there's been times in my life where I've needed direction because I'd lost direction. I'd lost my way. And I know there's recent studies where there's four things that people look for in direction, and that is trust, compassion, stability, and hope. Those four things is what commonly is identified when people need direction. Trust, compassion, stability, and hope. Being a hope bringer and being generous means you have to have a big heart. A big heart that has those gifts of trust, compassion, stability, and hope. Do we have these? So that when people come to us, they begin to realize there's so much that we have to offer through the one that we put our hope in, who is Jesus Christ. Jesus enables us to have hope now. Jesus enables us to have that strategy of one step at a time. And maybe we've come slightly too familiar with that story. And it comes across in this passage today, where it says, it literally is saying, wake up, catch up, and realize something's actually happening on your doorstep. That's what's happening in this passage. And that's what Isaiah was saying. He said, look, you're in Jerusalem. You've got God's temple right in front of you. By the way, there's masses of people coming here, and you're still in your bed. It's time to wake up, realize something is changing, something new is happening, and God is working in other people's lives, and you have to find out and discover it. What's the good news for that is that God's interested in people in waking up and catching up. It's never too late to catch up with God's plan for God's people. So regardless of when you rise in the morning or whether you're spiritually sleepy at this particular point or you're just weighed down and you just feel you couldn't get out of your spiritual bed at this moment because it's just too much to think about, God is almost, dare I say it, for those pet lovers, God is almost like a relentless cockapoo. He is. I'm not being sacrilegious there. Because God is the creator of all things that speak into everything. The very DNA of a God that is relentless, unconditional, energetic, wanting to get our attention is exactly some of the things that speak into us. And I know when I purchased my dog, Jet, it was a point when I was down there. And it took a dog to get me out of bed. Not God. At that point, it was a dog got me out of bed and got me back on my feet and got me started again. I'm not asking you to buy a pet. I'm not asking you to love a dog. All I'm saying is this: whatever way it is, underneath it all, God is speaking in whatever way possible to get out of your bed, to catch up, and to discover where you're going in your life. Maybe some of you feel that you're hanging by a thread at this point. But maybe it's a golden thread. A golden thread that God is holding and is weaving into the fabric of your life seamlessly and is cloaking you in the beauty of His righteousness and grace. And that He is wrapping you round more than just a thread, but all the circumstances of life, whether rubbish, annoying, soul-depressing or draining, God is shaping you for a purpose. And He is accepting you because His door is wide open already. And He's waiting and standing at your door, waiting for it to open. And the time of healing and the time of hope is now. It is today. There's an action. There's a strategy. There is a hope. But under it all, there is Jesus speaking into your hearts right now for your future, for your dream, and for your hope. Amen.